Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. And it is. One is becoming a bigger and bigger issue for our seniors. In fact, nearly one third of all seniors live by themselves, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, which is close to 13.8 million seniors who age alone. And you may think to yourself, okay, but what does that really mean if you are experiencing loneliness or social isolation? Well, according to our health experts, social isolation could increase a person's risk of premature death in all causes, whether that means smoking, obesity, physical inactivity. Also, it could increase your risk of dementia by 50%. Poor social relationships has been associated with 29% of increased heart disease and more risk of a stroke. Loneliness has also been associated with higher rates of depression, anxiety, suicide, and heart failure. Very, very serious things that we're talking about this morning and can relate to many people who are listening. Joining me now is Dylan Myers. He's actually the co-founder and CEO of something called OneClick.chat. And Dylan, thanks for coming on this morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me this morning, Melissa.
First of all, tell us what OneClick.chat is.
Yeah, great. So OneClick.chat is a social engagement platform that's designed to make it as easy as possible for older adults to use video chat to connect with friends, family, or to meet new people.
So how do they go about getting involved with this? Is it as simple as just having a website? You know, you click on the website. Do they have to enroll in something? How can some of my listeners get involved?
Absolutely. So OneClick.chat is the URL. So if you go to that, you can go and do a free trial or start using our platform. And we just make it easier than our competitors to be able to connect with people that you love and people that you know. You don't have to download anything to your computer. You really just click a link and you get entered into a video chat.
It looks like some of the different partnerships you have to do OneClick.chat does include the University of Connecticut partnering with things like Music for Seniors. What can people expect once they get involved with this?
Yeah, great question. So there's two components to our platform. One is we make it easy to connect with friends and family. And then the other thing is we're starting to raise awareness for what a lot of seniors are experiencing in senior living. And as part of that, we're hosting interactive events and we're partnering with organizations like University of Connecticut and Music for Seniors down in Nashville to host interactive live events where older adults who are confined to their rooms have a fun event that they can participate in. And then they can also meet other people who are also watching that event and get to know people and have that social engagement that's so important for their health.
I imagine that to put OneClick.chat together, which, by the way, we are on right now with the CEO and co-founder of OneClick.chat, that's Dylan Myers. I'd imagine, Dylan, when you put this together, this program together, taking into consideration that when you're talking about seniors, a lot of times, let's face it, they're not tech savvy as they probably would hope to be, maybe as their children or even their grandchildren are. So how did you make this so friendly, so inviting, you know, to give people an idea if they've never heard of this site before?
Yeah, of course. So we're working with leading researchers across the country, especially from the University of Illinois, and we started working with researchers from the University of Connecticut to really understand the technology needs of older adults, to make sure that we design this platform with and for older adults to make it as easy as possible.
Do you have any idea, Dylan, if different nursing homes or assisted living facilities, or if it's going to come down to states, where senior citizens can get their hands on laptops or computers? Because I imagine when you're talking about face-to-face, being able to do video chats and social engagement, they're going to need a video component. So a computer that allows you to be able to talk to people, connect with people. So where can seniors rely on getting these computers? Like, are we hoping that different nursing homes are going to have this available to their patients?
Yeah, that's a great question. So a lot of senior living organizations will have tablets or computers that the older adults can use. And if they didn't before COVID, now they definitely are trying to get their hands on those. The other thing is our platform is compatible with smartphones, tablets, computers. So any device that you have that has a camera will work on our platform.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Do you have to pay for this?
So right now, because of COVID, we're hosting all of these interactive events with these community building organizations completely for free, and we're offering them through senior living organizations across the country. If you do want your own personal video meeting room to meet with friends and family, that costs $15 a month.
Okay. And Dylan, a question about also with this platform. I know it's relatively new, but do you have any research, any early on findings that this is proving to kind of combat the loneliness that we are seeing our senior citizens go through, especially during COVID? Are we finding that platforms like your website, OneClick.chat, it's making a difference?
Yeah, so on one side, we're hearing anecdotal stories every day from users of our platform that are just grateful to be able to connect with people, whether it's people they know or people that they're just meeting for the first time. And then on the other side, we work with a lot of researchers, and we just published an article in a journal called Gerontechnology that showed that our platform is starting to make a difference. And we just got some more grant funding to continue that research to actually prove the impact that use of our platform has on health outcomes.
Dylan Myers, the co-founder and CEO of OneClick.chat. You can go and check that out at OneClick.chat online today. Dylan, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this, and we'll hopefully talk again in the future.
Thank you so much, Melissa. Have a great one.
Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Oh, thank you for welcoming me back. It's my pleasure always to be with you and the listeners.
So I wanted to talk about something that was pretty big news yesterday. A lot of people pretty shocked and probably a little taken aback by Sacred Heart's decision to no longer be in that big partnership that was announced earlier this summer with UB. What happened?
Yeah, first of all, there was a lot of moving parts on that with the universities, and I appreciate the efforts that all the universities made. Goodman College from the Hartford area is really the lead on this, has been from kind of the announcement on. The University of Bridgeport certainly, and Sacred Heart was active in negotiations, participation, and then at a certain point, I think, decided this was not what was right or good for them. But as I say that, it still is a transition with Goodwin and with UB and with Pear that will be a multi, let's call it, educational higher center of higher learning on that location at UB. So we're sorry to see Sacred Heart not being part of it, but it is the gap, so to speak, of the role they were going to play, which was somewhat nominal, and we wanted them and certainly think they are a great center of higher learning in Bridgeport and Fairfield, is going to be absorbed by Goodwin. So it's still an exciting transition. Certainly it started with UB looking for partners. And I think even reading some of the media outlets yesterday, we look at universities, centers for higher learning, state sponsored or not, looking for different ways to get through this COVID thing. So it's still a good result. It appears Sacred Heart is not a part of it anymore, more than appears they are not. Mm-hmm. And it'll move ahead, I think, and I think we're going to be happy with what the results are in the south end of Bridgeport.
I was also seeing reports, Mayor, about the University of Bridgeport specifically, and just some of the just the money that's been lost there. Do you have any concerns about UB? I know there's always going to be rumblings, always rumors about potential shutdowns, things like that. Do you have concerns in the coming years for UB?
Yeah, well, so broad picture, all the schools right now with COVID, but more particularly with UB, they've had and they've overcome so many times as other large centers for higher learning have that don't have subsidies like state colleges, sometimes financial challenges. They've done it before, risen to the top, and they're doing it again. And I think this partnership is a great way to do it. What you're seeing is a school, Goodwin, coming into another urban area, understanding the dynamics of Bridgeport, learning what they don't know, and saying we want to play a role to create as many opportunities we can for higher learning for obviously thousands of young people, but hundreds and probably thousands from Bridgeport itself. So I'm excited about it. Certainly, we want to be as supportive as we can, because whether it's under the full title of Goodwin or UB or a combination, that it is there as a place where people can go when they finish high school, raise their hand, want to go locally, want to come out with a diploma. We want it to be, as for as many as want that opportunity, want that to be in Bridgeport. So, yeah, always watching that. But, you know, large institutions, cities, states, governments, universities, big companies always go through ups and downs. And I give the leadership of UB a lot of credit, whether it's the board of directors, the chairman, the president, through transitions, to not only hold it together, but to keep it going. And, you know, I went down there yesterday for the dental hygienist. They have this the phone.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I get my teeth done down there, by the way, and this is a promo for them. And, you know, I have insurance through the city, but regardless of that, I pay $30, and they do a phenomenal job. They have some of the great schools down there. The PA school is phenomenal, and I can go through the engineering and all the schools, and you know that I've taken a liking to thinking that I can be an adjunct professor at times down there. I'm making light of it, but I've enjoyed experiences with the students down there and watched mm-hmm. them grow. So I have and I'm a graduate. I have four brothers who graduated there. So they provided my family opportunities for education above and beyond. So mm-hmm. so no matter what, whether mayor, personal, I think people should rally around what we're doing in the South End, mm-hmm. be supportive, whether Sacred Heart said or not, and apparently clearly now it's not in their best interest, they believe, to be a part of it, which is fine, yeah. and to move ahead down there. So it's going ahead. It's a change. There may be other changes that come along before this thing, you know, over the next year, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You have good leadership down there, and I, as mayor, will be as supportive as I can.
Sure. Mayor Ganim, a question as we were just wrapping up about schools with Sacred Heart University really quick. What was your reaction to all the violations that Sacred Heart has been dealing with? I know we've talked about more than 100 students right now have been suspended because they're simply breaking the COVID-19 rules on campus. What's your reaction to that? Anything you want to say to the students?
I do, in that there are a number of their students that are still residents occupying houses in Bridgeport. I want the residents of the North End to know that we have a task. I'll repeat this as we did last week. We have a task force up there. And COVID aside, or even now more emphatically because of COVID, this task force is cracking down on whether it's parties, illegal parking, any disrespect from the students to residents who have lived there for decades, many of them elderly, and the COVID just adds one more challenge to that. I hope and expect the university will do their part, as they appear to be doing, and the city's going to be doing our part. We're going to be shutting these places down. We're going to be citing them. I hope that the residents, some that are listening, do feel that this administration, this task force, is being effective. If not, we want to hear more. I get reports more than weekly on what we're doing up there, so it's important. The university, meaning Sacred Heart, has their challenges, certainly with COVID, but we're not going to allow, as has in the past too often, rambunctious or inappropriate action by college students to impact the quality of life in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. So, but people need to pivot into COVID a little bit, if I could.
Yeah, sure.
We are seeing we are seeing a little bit, I use this term too much, an uptick. This isn't just, I'm not talking about Bridgeport particularly, but this part of the country, New York, is taking some more measures to shut things down. Connecticut, is, our governor, is watching cautiously, and I think he's been doing a good job. And we are too locally. We're not ready to make any announcements about anything we want to do. But I will say that we have shut down and will continue to be diligent in the operations of restaurants or establishments that flaunt the rules that impact whether the COVID virus can be spread without masks or with too many people. We can't have it. And we tried to be like, you know, okay, we want businesses, and we certainly do want businesses to thrive, and we want to support them. But we've got to act within what is good common sense, as told to us by science, which is distance, wear masks, you can run the business. But please, we don't want to be in a situation where we're doing shutdowns mm-hmm. in Connecticut or in Bridgeport. We don't want to affect businesses or people. The schools, we had another school shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this isn't clearly not unique to any school district like ours. It's
sure.
happening all over the state and all over the country. So it's kind of a difficult time for people just on COVID in addition to everything else. So mm-hmm. I know you have other topics. So I'm
no, you're fine. I just wanted to be able to talk to you about this. Bridgeport Mayor Joe Ganim here this morning. I just got actually a press release as you're chatting this morning with me from your acting chief of police, Rebecca Garcia, in regards to work of the task force officers. Apparently, there was a pretty big operation that was going on, a joint operation yesterday, and it ended up with 4 illegal firearms off the streets, also rounds of ammunition. I'm seeing drugs.
Rounds of ammunition.
Yeah,
drugs.
A lot of things
so
that came off
know,
the streets.
You know, we're probably not good enough at getting this out because it's one of those topics where it's not like everybody says, yay, dealing with public safety. But it's important that people know, especially because we've had and we continue to have too many shootings.
Mm-hmm.
As we see in every city, I talk to mayors across the country and across the state, if not daily, but weekly at times, and we're all facing different challenges. But they're working hard with multiple law enforcement agencies, taking guns, taking people, taking ammunition, and many times it's tied to drugs off the street. This was a great effort by those task forces. I want to say thank you to them. We don't even know what they may have prevented by making these large
sure.
busts. They have to spend a lot of time doing their homework. They don't just say, oh, let's go knock on this door. They have information, and then they execute on it. There was actually more than one. They've taken 30, I'll be corrected by Rowena, I'm sure, but at least 30 guns or so off the street over the past number of weeks. And, you know, we're not able to get that out in the news all the time. And but we want people to know that they are doing that in the midst of, unfortunately, the other things that are happening where there have been shootings and condolences to those that have been the victims and the families that have lost lives. And that is happening. And we're clearly far from insensitive to that. We're very sensitive. I am very sensitive to that, and I want people to know the police department is not sleeping on the job by any measure. They're out there every day 24/7, and if you have a way to help, this was the message by our acting chief as well, if you have a way to help, there are ways you can do it without feeling you're putting yourself in jeopardy. It's not right if you know something about someone who's taken someone's life or is brazen with a weapon to not share that so that we can stop that, because when it happens and you lose a life, and life is lost anywhere, it's permanent. And so mm-hmm. sorry to go off on that a little bit, but I think it's important to mention.
No, I appreciate it. And I think that, you know what, Mayor, we have seen now, it's what, 18 or 19 homicides that we've dealt with in 2020 for Bridgeport. And I think the one thing that if I've learned anything in the last couple of weeks from Acting Chief of Police Rebecca Garcia, it's exactly that she's made it very clear that if you know anything, that you could be anonymous, you can leave any sort of a tip. And if you feel like you're you know, ratting somebody out, that's really not the problem at this point. At this point, it's giving, you know, some kind of solace to the families who have lost loved ones from very senseless crimes. And that's really what matters. So, no, I appreciate that message. And I think it can't be said enough. And I appreciate you staying on for these very long segments on Wednesday. I know how busy you are. So thank you.
Next week, I think we're going to have some announcements that are on the positive side on economic development and things that are we want to either get out there with more information or new stuff that we want to announce in the city. So I look forward to doing them with you on the show next week.
Great. Sounds awesome. We are thinking of Eddie Van Halen this morning, of course. The news yesterday absolutely shocked millions across the globe hearing about his passing. Eddie Van Halen, the legendary guitarist and co-founder of Van Halen, he died after a long battle with cancer at the age of 65 years old. Sources directly connected to the rock star told TMZ that he died at St. John's Hospital in Santa Monica on Tuesday. His wife, Janie, by his side, along with his son, Wolfgang, his ex-wife, Valerie Bertinelli, and Alex, Eddie's brother and drummer. We're told in the last 72 hours, Eddie's ongoing health battle just went massively downhill. Doctors discovered that his lung cancer had moved to his brain and other organs, other major organs. Now, Eddie Van Halen, he had been dealing with cancer. He was battling that for over a decade. And sources say that he was in and out of the hospital over the past year, including just in November, he had some intestinal issues and had to go under more chemo for that. Eddie was the main songwriter and lead guitarist of the American rock band Van Halen. He, of course, co-founded that in 1972 with his brother, the drummer, Alex Van Halen. Also bassist Mark Stone and singer David Lee Roth. He was well known for making it popular, if you will, because I can't speak correctly. I get very emotional about these kinds of things. He made it popular, the tapping guitar solo technique. He certainly is probably one of the greatest guitarists to ever walk the earth. In 2012, he was actually voted number one in Guitar World magazine readers poll for the top 100 greatest guitarists of all time. So when I heard about this yesterday, I think it was another, I wouldn't say sudden. It seemed like he was battling this horrible disease for a very long time. But I think when you hear that he was 65 years young and just the mark that he made on the world, I think, you know, when you bring the attention to somebody as big as Eddie Van Halen, you stop for a second and you think, wow, cancer's just awful. And it is awful. But I think that cancer has been stealing the lives of so many way younger than Eddie Van Halen. And there are just so many cases that go unnoticed because they don't have the popularity. They don't have the status behind them. They're not in the public eye. They're not in Hollywood, whatever the case may be. But I will say with this death, it really struck a chord with me. As a lot of you know, my younger brother, Matthew, who is autistic, while he's very high functioning and he's doing very well, he's working for Disney. He's in Florida. He lives on his own. He's truly a miracle child. And I should say adult now. When we were growing up, my brother had very little to no speech. In fact, my brother was in full-blown sign language. My older brother and I actually knew full-blown sign language up until we were about 6 or 7 years old because it was the only way we could communicate with my brother. And my brother was very persistent on watching the same shows. So he watched Power Rangers over and over and over and over and over. It was one of the few things that we watched on repeat, to the point that my parents even sat down and would watch the credits. That was the more entertaining part because they didn't have that memorized. And that's where they actually came up with my little sister's name, Amy Jo. Because that is the name of the Pink Power Ranger actress, Amy Jo Johnson. Anyways, the reason I bring this up is because when my brother was young, Matthew was obsessed. And I don't know any 90s kids out there, even 80s kids. Maybe you would remember this or maybe your kids watched this. But the Power Rangers movie with Ivan Ooze. Anybody else remember that movie? Came out in the 90s. It was the Power Rangers taking on this ghastly character who had basically this purple goo that could warp the minds of people who touched it, and they fell under a spell, essentially, of Mr. Ivan Ooze. It was a great movie. And I remember in one of the first times my brother actually recognized music lyrics was Van Halen. Because at the end of that movie, in Ivan Ooze's movie, and when the Power Rangers defeat him and they restore life to the planet, because the Power Rangers are awesome, it's Van Halen who plays at the end of that film. It's Dreams that plays. And in fact, it was one of the first songs that my brother actually learned the words and would sing it when he was first learning to speak. And it was one of the songs that has stuck in our family for years because it was such a turning point for Matthew. And immediately my heart just went right back to the 1990s and remembering my brother singing this song. And I thought, well, our hearts are with you, Mr. Eddie Van Halen. Take a listen.
Feel the world.